Praise God. For a few moments, let's look at the Word of God. Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 4. Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 4. Jesus is speaking. He said, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Word of God tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And then again over in 1 Peter chapter 5, it tells us that to cast all of our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. We're going to look in the Word of God this morning, and I've entitled it, "What Do You Do About Fear?" What do you do about fear? And let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look at this for a few moments this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we look into the Word this morning, we just pray for wisdom and guidance and direction. We ask that the Holy Spirit would lead us. And Father, when we leave this place today, may we have the assurance, Lord, that God is with us. And Lord, that we would just put our total confidence in you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you know, this past week has been a very hard week in Canada in regards to things happening in Ottawa and in Quebec there as well. 2 soldiers being killed in cold blood and by extremists that, you know, have some crazy ideas about society and government and everything that they're believing. And it's been a hard time. And they were saying on one of the networks there, the fear that people are starting to feel of all the things that are going on in the world today. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself talked about, he said, in the last days, he said, men's hearts will fail them for fear, seeing the things that are coming up on the earth. And we're living in those days today, as you know. And if you've been reading God's word at all or been around church much and know anything about the future, you know that God's got everything under control and these things are bound to happen as we get closer to the coming of Jesus. The main aim of Satan is to bind us up in fear, to paralyze us, to put fear in our hearts so that we can not be able to do anything in our society, in our lives, and keep us under fear. And these people that come out and do the things that were done this past week, they operate from a background of trying to bring fear upon the people and cause fear and turmoil in society. And they believe that's what their God wants them to do. Now, who would want to serve a God like that is beyond me, but that's what they believe, that their God is telling them to go out and kill people, to instill fear in society and kill innocent people and individuals and just bring the entire world under their control. But I like what our Prime Minister said on Wednesday night. He gave an address to the nation. He said, "Canada will not be intimidated." And it was addressed also by the leader of the opposition and also the liberal leader. And they basically all said the same thing. "We will not bow down. We will not turn back from what we believe to be true. And we're not going to be intimidated by fear." And it's good, you know, when you look at it, sometimes they say this brings out the best in people. And you see him when he went back to work the next day, all the government leaders. Prime Minister Harper went over and hugged Justin Trudeau and then also Mulcair and hugged him. And you think, even though they try to bring fear to us, sometimes these things draw us closer together. And then you see them all again on Thursday morning, all going down to the War Memorial. And then again, reinstating the 2 soldiers in front again, signifying that we're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to be, you know, caught off guard by fear. We're not going to allow fear to control us. And I believe that's what we need to do. But also in our spiritual walk, we need to look at it from the very same perspective. Basil King, in a book called The Conquest of Fear, says this. He said, fear causes more misery than all sin and sickness in our lives combined. He writes, we are not sick all the time, and we're not sinning all the time. He said, but most people are afraid of something or someone all the time. There's fear always in our lives. And as children of God, that ought not to be, and it doesn't need to be that way. So, but everyone knows what it's like to be afraid. You know, everyone knows what it's like to probably lie awake in bed at night. You've got certain situations that you're going through in your mind, and sometimes you just can't get to sleep, and your mind is in turmoil, and you're feeling uptight, and your heart is beating fast, and sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, you hear a noise, and you think somebody's breaking in, or something else happens. Like, you know, and it's just all these fears come upon us. And so sometimes we wonder, you know, what is it that we have to do? What is it about fear? And they tell us that anxiety... right now, they're saying anxiety is the most prominent emotion that people are feeling. When you talk about society in general, the most prominent emotion that people are feeling is anxiety. Fear of those things that are coming. Feeling anxious about things is not a sin, but God doesn't want us to be going around all of our lives living under a continual dread of things happening or something bad happening. Fear always... tries to convince you that the worst thing is going to happen in your life. Somebody put down fear as an acrostic. They said, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing to be real. Fear makes you think that the worst will happen. They say that the Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin, they said in his home in Moscow, when he was living, he had 8 bedrooms put into his home. And he would choose, he never had a system for choosing, but he would just choose a random bedroom every night because he was so afraid that somebody's going to try to come in and kill him. And he would sleep in a different bedroom every night. No one knew what bedroom he'd be in. When they went into Iran or Iraq there a few years ago and, started dropping bombs and different things, they found that Saddam Hussein had bunkers built meters below the soil, meters below the earth, trying to find places, to hide from people that were trying to kill him. And they said he was a man that lived in constant fear. I was looking at the internet last night and just going through some different things and trying to find out how many phobias there are. You know, people are phobias. I found one site and they said a list of phobias and I counted. Now, I might have missed one or two, but basically... there's over 500, I counted 536, and it was too much trouble to go through them all again and count them and make sure I never miss one, but 536 I counted, and they said one is even a phobia of phobias. You're afraid to be afraid. You're afraid to have a phobia of some kind. And so people are afraid all the time. There's a constant fear in society. I was reading about a little boy, and he was helping his mother. She was making a cake. And she was making supper, and she was mixing up the ingredients and making different things. And she said to the little boy, she said, Johnny, she said, go into the pantry, she said, and bring out a can of tomato soup for Mom. And he said, Mom, I can't go in there. He said, it's dark. He said, I'm afraid. He's just a 5-year-old boy. And so she tried to comfort him. She says, there's nothing in there that's going to hurt you. She said, if the light was on, there's the same thing. She says, there's nothing in there. Just go in and get me a can of soup and bring it out. And he still resisted to go. And finally, she said, listen, she said, Jesus is in there. She said, you'll be okay. So the little boy goes over to the door, opens up the door, looks in, it was still dark. He said, Jesus, if you're in there, can you pass out a can of tomato soup? We're all afraid of the dark. We're afraid of, fear itself. And so we need to be very careful of that. The Bible tells us one of the worst things about fear is that fear is contagious. Now, you've seen the news that's going on lately about the Ebola disease and virus and everything else, and people are afraid to get infected. But one of the greatest things that we need to be careful not to get infected by is fear. Fear, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8, God was telling the children of Israel through Moses, he said, if there's anyone fearful among you, he said, turn around and go back, he said, lest you turn the hearts of your brethren as well. Because it's contagious. It spreads. And you know what it's like sometimes? You're around people that's talking negative all the time, talking, fear and worry and all these different things. It's going to bring fear in your own life. And you need to be very careful who you hang around. This is why the Bible tells us that evil companions corrupt good manners. In other words, whoever you hang around with is going to influence the way you think. And it's very important for us to understand that. But basically, they say there's two kinds of fear. Number one, there's a good fear. If there's any such thing as good fear is like you wouldn't dare walk out in the middle of the street. You wouldn't go and try to walk across the 401 up there when all the traffic is coming. That's just common sense, really. It's just a fear. Like if you get out on the edge of a building, well, Ron hasn't got this fear, but I do. When you get out on the edge of a building, you look down late and, you know, nervous, and you get up on a ladder and things like this. You know, sometimes these are good fear, just common sense. You know, not saying Ron don't have common sense now, but you know, some fellows got more nerve on heights than others. But some of these things are just good fear that we would have. You wouldn't let your children just play outdoors by themselves without ever so often checking on them, make sure they're okay. You wouldn't let them play with knives or matches or anything else. These are just common sense things that we're concerned about. Probably that's a better term to use, that we're concerned about these things. But then there's a negative, bad fear. Fear that would instill such a paralyzing effect in your life, that you're afraid to do anything. And this is what the Bible refers to as a spirit of fear. It paralyzes us. The Bible tells us, we already quoted the verse a little earlier, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God calls fear a spirit. He said he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, if you look at these three things at the end there, love, power, and a sound mind, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So God has given us perfect love. Not our love. My love is not perfect. Your love is not perfect. God's love is. His perfect love, once we understand his love for us, it casts out fear. We don't have anything to fear anymore. You know, sometimes, I can remember when I was just a young fellow, and I'd come home in the house and Mom was gone somewhere. And my father was already passed on by this time, so I was there, and if Mom was somewhere, probably, you know, somebody else's house or in church or whatever, and I came home, man, I'd be in the house late, and you know, even though I was in the house and lights were on and everything else, you know, I'd be nervous. And finally, when I see a car coming down over the hill and somebody dropped Mom off, man, all of a sudden it was just peace again, because I knew Mom loved me and nothing's going to hurt me because Mom was around, you know. And that's the way children think sometimes. But see, when we know that we're secure in someone's love, there's no fear. So this is why the Bible says perfect love cast out fear. And then he says he's also given us a spirit of love and power. And once we realize the power that God has, the Bible says there's nothing too difficult for God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Power, love and power, and of a sound mind. You realize that fear, as we just already mentioned, is false evidence that appears to be real. And a lot of that is because it's going through our mind. We're just thinking about the worst scenarios all the time. We're thinking about all the bad things that can happen. You know, what's going to happen if this happens now? What's going to happen if somebody breaks in the house? What's going to happen if I get sick? What's going to happen if this happens or if I lose my job? And your mind is just constantly in turmoil all the time. But if you get a sound mind, in other words, if you start to think things clearly and start to understand things, it will bring peace in your life. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Fear sometimes can come in almost like a monster and paralyze us and destroy us. Sometimes there's panic attacks, and that's when fear goes out of control. But the Bible tells us that fear is not from God. There's only one type of fear that's mentioned in Scripture that we should have, and that's the fear of God. And it doesn't mean a fear that you're afraid of God. It means you reverence God, you respect him, you honor him. That's what the word means when it talks about fear of God, to have the fear of God in our hearts, is that we reverence him and honor him. So every time you feel fear, I'm talking about the paralyzing fear now, every time you feel that fear in your life, it's a manifestation of Satan's kingdom. It's a manifestation of what Satan is trying to do, because God never gave us the spirit of fear. Joyce Myers says, fear is the master spirit. She says, it's the spirit that Satan uses to try to rule God's people and keep them from coming under the leadership of the true master, which is Jesus Christ. Fear would keep you under Satan's domain and keep you under his control. As long as you allow fear to reign in your life, you put yourself under Satan's domain. But the minute you rise above that and start to realize, listen, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in bondage like this. Then we allow God to be the one that directs our lives and be a master of our lives. There's two basic entry points for fear in our lives. Number one is wrong believing. Now, however you came across wrong believing, it could be in your childhood. Maybe, you know, I've said before, my mother was a champion warrior. She'd worry about everything. I got a brother that's 2 years older than I am, and so when he got up old enough to get a license and different things, he'd go to work, and we lived in a town called Gamble, Newfoundland. He worked in Gander, Newfoundland, which is about Saban was here to Kingston, approximately a little bit further, but basically that distance. Was traveling over the highway, and in Newfoundland there's a lot of moose and everything. So if my brother was a bit late coming home nighttime, he got off work 12 o'clock, and he should have been home, you know, by 25 to 1 or 1:15 or something like that. If he wasn't there by 1:15, I mean, Mom started worrying. She was looking out through the window and looking, scratching her head and trying to see up the street and down the street and see, you know, if there's any lights coming or anybody moving out there tonight. And, you know, if he never showed up by 1 o'clock, I mean, she was starting to plan his funeral. She just had everything, you know, so nervous, you know. And I grew up in the same way, you know, just worrying about all these things because I learned it from my mother, you know. And so somewhere along the line, we've got to realize that, listen, we can't live like this anymore. We've got to rise above this. And so we need to understand that wrong believing sometimes brings fear. Sometimes people get the wrong idea about God. They're figuring God is just up there all the time. When the Bible says the eyes of the Lord is going to and fro over all the earth, some people say, oh, he's spying on us. See, that's the very first thing. No, God is not spying on you to hurt you. He's spying on you to help you. You got to understand that God is on your side. He loves you. God is not against you. He's for you. But if you got wrong understanding, wrong believing, you're going to grow up with the wrong kind of fear of God. But we need to understand that God's a loving Father, loves his family, loved us so much that he gave his son to die in our place. That's how much God loves us. But then they say there's another fear that comes in, and this usually comes in through some trauma in our lives. Like somebody died or something happened in our lives, or maybe there's an accident, or maybe like this past week in Ottawa and in Quebec there. You know, things happen that sort of frighten you and put that fear in you. And I think all of us, there's some amount of fear that would come in. But, you know, if you allow that fear to remain there, that's where the problem is at. When that fear comes in, you got to rise up above it and say, listen, I'm not going to be bound by that. I guarantee you, and you know as well as I do, maybe some of us here, you know, that night going to bed, there's a lot of people that couldn't get sleep that night, afraid of what's happening in Canada. All this, what we've heard about in other lands now, is all of a sudden is here in our own country, happening on our own soil. You know, and if you allow it to, it would put you in bondage. And that's the plan of the enemy. God says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but that spirit comes from Satan. So there's two types of fear: through wrong believing, through some traumatic experience that we go through, and make us all bring us under that fear. But they say there's also two ways that fear can influence you. Fear can influence you. It can influence you positively, and sometimes people are afraid of something happening in their life, so therefore they'll make provision for the future. Maybe they're afraid of losing their job, so they start putting money aside, or they're afraid of something else. So these fears sometimes motivate us for something good, but there's also a fear that can motivate you in a negative sense. Some people are so afraid of failure that they won't try anything. Some people are so afraid of being criticized that they're afraid to step out and do anything, afraid somebody would say something about them. And that fear, again, paralyzes us. And we got to understand where these fears come from. And so it's very important for us to understand that fear that paralyzes, fear that brings you to a place that you're afraid to do anything, that's not fear from God. You need to understand that that's not coming from God. That's not coming from heaven. That's coming from the enemy himself, because that's his plan, is to destroy you, to bring you under bondage so that he can control you. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, 18, fear brings torment. Anybody ever been tormented before by fear? Fear can torment you. It would drive you crazy. You know, maybe you got a fear of, I mean, there's people that fear, like I said, fear of flying. I'm starting to get over that, you know. But there's fear. Some people are afraid of dogs or cats or you know, some people, I was reading one last night, people are afraid of balloons. You know, some people are afraid of feathers. You know, and there's all kinds of weird things that people are afraid of. But to them, that's a real fear. And it brings them in bondage. And that's not from God. God doesn't want us to be bound by a spirit of fear. You need to understand, and once we do understand that fear is a spirit, it's easier to deal with it. And we need to know which way to deal with these things. So fear can paralyze us. It can cripple us. It brings stress in our lives. They tell us that stress comes from fear and worry. It causes stress, and it causes all kinds of medical problems and everything else. So Satan wants us to live under that bondage of fear so that he can make our lives miserable and cause us to be ineffective for God. There are two reasons why people stay in fear. First of all, they look too much at the problem. They look at the problem too long. And you know as well as I do, and you can see this happening in your own life all the time. If something's going through your mind, and you know, ever so often we say, man, I got to start thinking about something else. You ever feel that way sometimes? Because that fear will come in, and the more you meditate on it, it gets down into your heart, and it starts to react in your body and everything else, and you get all tensed up, and your palms get sweaty, and your heart starts pounding faster, and your mind is just going, you can't get to sleep. All these things come by that spirit of fear. And so a lot of times, as long as we keep looking at the problem, as long as we are looking at how, you know, what have we got to face, what have we got to do, all these different things can keep us in bondage. So we need to do something about that. And as long as we keep looking at the problem, it's going to make it harder. But secondly, people stay in fear because their source of security, you know, for the Christian is God. But to the other people on the outside, their source of security could be the military, could be the police force, could be their job, could be their family, could be their parents. You know, that's their source of security. But once you get the feeling that your source of security is not big enough to look after my problem, then you're in trouble. Then fear comes in. But thank God, as children of God, the Bible, you know, the Bible asks the question, he said, behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too difficult for me? Remember the song we sing it sometimes? Behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? And then the answer comes back, nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, you're mighty in counsel, mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for thee. Once we get that perspective, then fears will subside. But as long as we try to worry about it, as long as we're keeping it in our mind and trying to figure out what am I going to do, how am I going to work this out, and put all the strain on yourself, you're going to be in fear. You've got to, somewhere along the line, cast it over on God and realize that he's our source. So when your source of security is not strong enough to provide for you, that would cause fear. And Satan is the master of using our fears against us. And he can keep us from being effective as Christians or living a happy, productive life, as long as he can keep us in fear. But God has promised, he said, I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And the more we believe in the sufficiency of God, the smaller fear will become in our lives. There are two ways in which we can confront fear. First of all, and this might sound strange to you, but you need to speak to fear. Fear, as we said, and not because I've said it, it's what God says. Fear is a spirit. And you need to learn to speak to it just as real as if it's a person standing in front of you. And say, fear, you're not going to do this to me. I refuse to be bound by you. There's times when you wake up in the middle of the night and as I said, there's things going through your mind. Maybe your children is sick, or maybe there's something going on in the financial aspect of your life or some other area of life. And fear comes in and you lie in bed there sometimes and you almost tremble because of the stuff that you're thinking about. Or maybe you just woke up from a bad dream. I had a dream a couple nights ago that I don't know where I was at, but it was this great big place and all of a sudden this dog started coming after me barking. And there was somebody there, and I said, man, maybe they can help me. And I ran over, and he was there with me, and we were trying to figure out what to do with the dog. And he got more afraid than I did, and he grabbed onto me, and I couldn't move. And here's a dog coming after me, you know. And you wake up, and I woke up then when the dog was about to pounce on me. I woke up, man, my heart was pounding and everything else. And you start to lie in bed, and you think, man, you're just nervous looking around everywhere. And you start to think, man, this is crazy. You know, just calm down. It's only a dream. It's only a dream, you know. And by the way, you're laughing. You fellas have gone through it too. We go through times like that. But first of all, we need to speak to it. Identify the fear and rebuke it. The Bible tells us to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The Bible talks about Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says that we can resist him and he'll flee from us. Fear is a spirit that needs to be resisted. Speak to it. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, James 4:7. Secondly, we need to face our fears. There used to be a song years ago. It was called Run to the Roar. I don't know if anybody ever heard it. This is back in the 70s. Now. Run to the Roar. And the story was when Satan is as a roaring lion, the Bible says. And they say that lions, when they attack, there's the king lion or whatever it would be, he would come out and he would roar, and it puts a fear through the prey that he's after. And they're saying, when the devil comes at us and roars, instead of running away from him, we should turn around and say, devil, you're not doing that to me. And run towards the roar. See, when you face fear, it will diminish. No matter what it is, even in a natural realm, if there's something that you're afraid of, and we've all gone through this, if there's something that you're afraid of, and if you face that fear, all of a sudden that fear loses its control over you. There's people, you know, I've joked about before. I'm still not loving flying today. But, I mean, there's a time I dread it. I mean, if I knew I had to go on a flight and, you know, next month or something, I'd be, you know, all month worrying about that and worrying and your heart beating. I don't know if I'm going to go through with that or not. I don't know if I'm going to take that. Maybe I see if I can work that out some other way. See if I can get out of that. You know, my mind was going all the time. But until you are willing to say, listen, I'm just going to trust God and go with it and put your trust in God and face that fear will always be big. Once you start facing it, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. It'll diminish. But the more you look at it and are afraid of it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. This is why it's important for us to, you know, look to God, not to the fear. Sometimes we need to have courage. Some people said, oh, you know, but that person don't have a bit of fear in their body. They're very courageous. I was thinking this week as up in Parliament there, you know, the next morning they all came back to work, you know, leaving a sign to the terrorists and everything else, we're not going to bow down to your fear. They all came back to work and the government's, you know, all working together. And as I said, they went out and laid the flowers and everything else and the wreaths at the National War Memorial there. The soldiers came back this week and took up their post again, you know. And some people said, oh, you know, they don't have any fear at all. No, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe they still have fear. But they have courage. Courage doesn't mean you have no fear. It means that you're willing to face fear and deal with it. And that's what these people are doing. And I think we should commend them for that. Fear is the opposite of faith. They compete within you. Faith comes in, fear go out. When fear comes in, faith will go out. So you got to make up your mind. What do you want in there? Trust in God or fear? And it's something that we all have to deal with and something we all have to do. David said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, he said, what time I am afraid, in other words, whenever I'm afraid, he said, I will trust in you, talking to God. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. So finally, what is the cure for fear? It's to develop confidence in God, that he's with us, and that he's sufficient to meet all of our needs. Fear, as we said, is a spiritual force, but the good news, it can be defeated. Remember years ago, they used to have the slogan for the Cancer Society, cancer can be beaten. You know, they used to have it on the hockey rinks. You see the center ice, they would have them marked around, you know, cancer can be beaten. Everywhere you go, they had flyers up and they had posters up. Cancer can be beaten. We got to have the same attitude towards fear. Fear can be beaten. It can come down. All through the scriptures, God gives us command after command after command. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Children of Israel, you know, God said to Moses, fear not, just stretch out your rod and go across the Red Sea. When Moses died and went off the scene, Joshua took over. Now, how am I going to fill in Moses' boots? How am I going to fill those shoes? God said, Joshua, fear not. Every time the children of Israel came up against something, God says, fear not, I'll be with you. Fear not, fear not. All through scriptures you find that. Somebody said there's 365. I counted one time, couldn't find that many, so I stopped saying it. But some people said that there are 365 there. Fear nots in the Bible. Somebody said there's one for every day of the year. You know, maybe it is in different ways of saying it, but the fear not itself is not there that many times, but the principle is there. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to have control over your life. Fear only has the power that we allow it to have. Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. So how do we overcome it? Number one, the best move that you can make to build up your faith is to closely guard your thought life. Anxiety and fear is an emotion that comes in through our thoughts. So when we change our thought patterns, we can change our lives. If you allow yourself to be always afraid of what's happening over in the Middle East, and I mean, this is why they show people, and they put it on the TV, people being beheaded and all these different things, is to instill fear in the world. That's the devil's plan. That's the devil, you know, and like I said, anybody who would say there's a God that tells them to do that, it's not the God we're serving. Our God is a God of love. He's not given us a spirit of fear, the Bible says. So any God that would try to bring that kind of fear is not the God that we're serving. When your thought life becomes negative, you need to make up your mind that you're going to choose to think of something else. Get your eyes off your problems, off yourself, and get them up on Jesus. Get them up on Jesus. The Bible says we look to Him who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Secondly, turn your anxieties into prayers. When there's a fear comes in, you need to take some scripture. You need, you know, we've been doing Bible studies here in the back room, and you've been all memorizing scripture work and all these different things, and I know you all love to memorize scripture, and you're all doing a tremendous job. But, you know, it's good to have God's word down in our hearts, because once God's word is down in our hearts, all of a sudden something comes in. I tell you the honest truth. This is the very first scripture I think that comes in my mind. It's a very familiar one. We quoted already three or four times. God has not given me a spirit of fear. So when fear comes in, I said, now fear, this is not from God. You see, you need to ask yourself, when you're going through a situation and fear comes in, you need to ask this question. Now, is this fear from heaven or from hell? Is this coming from God or is it coming from Satan? You say, well, I really don't know. But let me put it this way. Is it paralyzing you? You can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't rest, you can't think. Then it's not from God. Okay, you don't need to be super spiritual to figure this out. That's not from God. Okay, so when a fear comes in like that, stand up against it. Say, devil, you're not doing this. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be here trembling and nervous about something that's just going through my mind. Devil, I will not allow it to happen. God has given me a power, love and power and a sound mind. Stand against it. You need to take God's word and take some scripture, maybe Psalm chapter 1, chapter 23 there, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Learn to take those scriptures and make them into prayers. And say, Lord, You've not given me this spirit of fear. You are my shepherd. You always lead me into good pastures. You always take care of me. You always supply all of my needs. I put my trust in You. You're my shepherd. And You're looking after me like a shepherd would look after his sheep. And you need to take the Psalms or some other passage of Scripture and make it into a prayer. Read one line and then turn it around and make it into a prayer. Make it into a confession. And rise above fear and condemnation that the devil would bring in. The Bible tells us nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And if we keep that deep down in our hearts, our faith will rise up and overcome any fear that would come in. J. Hudson Taylor, and I finish with this quote, he founded the China Inland Mission over 100 years ago. And they said, during the terrible days of the Boxer Rebellion, they say this was a time when missionaries were being killed and captured and all these different things. And there were threats coming after him, coming towards him, and he was afraid and he was getting nervous and all, you know, all these things would come in. They say he went through such agony of soul that he could not pray. And in his journal he wrote, and summarized his spiritual condition in this way. He said, I can't read. He was too nervous. He was too, you know, fear and everything else, and anxiety and all these. He said, I can't read. I can't think. And I can't pray. He said, but I can still trust. Still trust. There's times when you're going to come in, fear will come in, and try to bring you under bondage. But listen, we need to get into the Word of God. Get God's word down our hearts. That's why David said, your word have I hid in my heart. When we get God's word down in your heart, it's easy to tell what person got in their heart, because when fear comes, what comes out of your mouth first? If it comes out, oh my, what am I going to do now? How is this going to work? What's going to happen here? You know you don't have enough God's word in there. But when fear comes, the very first thing that should come out of your mouth is, listen, God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God is my shepherd. And you need to get these words down in your heart and build you up your faith. And I've done it myself. I know we all have. There's times when you just have to, you know, get stern with yourself and say, now listen, you got to stop thinking this way and start thinking on the things that are right and proper, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister through us.